7 o'clock, rise and shine, pal. Good morning, Jim Davis, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Rockies playing great on the road right now, Buckeye. Can you believe that? Great on the road against the Atlanta Braves.
I don't know. I think they swapped uni.
I think so, too. Rockies playing like a playoff contender, as opposed to the Braves, who are supposed to be, you know.
They're playing like the Rockies.
Playing kind of like the Rockies a little bit. A couple of former GJ Rockies getting it done last night. Raimel Tapia driving in Colton Welker. Rockies went in 10 last night over the Braves. So a chance to get sweep today. Rockies and Braves will have it on the team. Our show will end a little bit early today, 9:40, for pregame with Mike Rice and Jack Corrigan. The Rockies and the Braves right here on the team. All right, so we have a lot to get to on the program today. Busy day. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, will join us. Colorado gets Minnesota on Saturday. We'll talk about that game. Also about the loss to Texas A&M. Great defensive effort. Not nearly enough offense for Colorado in that game. Did not take advantage of some opportunities in that game as well against Texas A&M. So we'll talk with Mark about that. Also, Delta football coach Ben Johnson will join us this hour. Big one tonight at Stoker on the gridiron as Palisade takes on Montrose, two top 10 teams in their respective classifications. And they've had close, hard-fought contests the last several games. So tonight's game should be no exception. Palisade hosting Montrose right here on the team. We'll talk with Bulldogs head coach Joe Romano. That'll be coming up later on this morning. Also, we'll talk with the coordinators for Colorado Mesa today. Brandon Anderson, who orchestrates the Mavericks defense. Braylee Brown, Mavericks co-offensive coordinator, coming up this morning. Plus, we will squeeze in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Oh, and we'll also play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is your chance to win New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage today.
That's a lot to get in.
Qdoba.
We got a lot to get in.
Busy, busy show today. So we got a Qdoba question of the day today, brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill. It's always fresh, healthy, delicious. And stop by your local Qdoba today for a bowl or a burrito. Get the app, track the points, and get free food from our friends over at Qdoba. Mm-hmm. All right, the question today. Vic Fangio was riverboat Vic on Sunday.
Yeah.
Going for it on fourth down. Do you like this new aggressive nature of Vic Fangio, who in his first 2 years as the Broncos head coach has been, you know, criticized and deservedly so for poor clock management skills? There's times he's kind of went, things happen.
We'll just do it.
Well, no, you know, but now, you know, this first game of the season goes out and with a veteran quarterback at the helm says, hey, let's roll the dice here. Teddy Bridgewater coming up with a big fourth down pass play to Cortland Sutton to convert on a fourth down and two. I believe they converted three fourth downs on Sunday against the Giants. So do you like this new aggressive approach of Vic Fangio going for it on fourth down? Got some thoughts on that today. Text or call us 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340. So love to hear from you on that today. Got anything else on your mind about Montrose Palisade tonight? Should be a great football game over at Stoker. Max Ryan and Vern McGee will have the call on that one tonight. Once again, pregame at 6, kickoff at 7. And just to remind you that tomorrow night's different with Grand Junction Central. It's Central's homecoming. That's a 6 o'clock kick. And we were looking the other day, the majority, I think all the kicks,
the rest of the way
on Friday nights at Stoker will be 6 o'clock kicks. So do keep that in mind if you're.
Amen.
Yeah. Which.
To that.
I'm
not going to complain about it. Not at all.
Perfectly fine with that. And we'll have Colorado Preps coming up tomorrow night. Plus, we're going to break out a new feature that we'll run on Friday nights between games.
Yep.
And you came up with a name for this.
Yeah, it's the Weekend Football Primer. At least that's what it was when I left here yesterday.
I think that's what we're going with. So It'll be with Matt Kennedy. It'll be a look at Colorado Mesa and college football and the local high school games coming up. That maybe a Saturday game like Fruit of Monument taking on Chatfield.
Yep.
The NFL as well. So he'll do that after our coverage of Grand Junction and Central Friday night, leading you up to Colorado Preps with Kevin Schaefer, who runs down all the action from across the state on the gridiron with Colorado Preps. So text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Do you like the new aggressive Vic Fangio going for it on fourth down? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. I do. I like it.
Makes things way more fun.
But it's also only fun if they convert.
Well, I mean, for Broncos fans.
Well, yeah. I like the confidence that he has in his veteran quarterback. Because I'm going to be honest. I mean, Cole, let's be honest about it. If it was Drew Lock, they would not be doing this.
No.
They wouldn't be. Sorry.
They can't trust him with the football.
You can't trust him to make good decisions on fourth down. Key, you know, like high leverage downs, which that would be fourth down, is a high leverage, high pressure situation. And thank goodness that, you know, they've got a quarterback now, at least, you know, after week one. Like, Teddy Bridgewater posted the best QBR of his career, had the best QBR of anybody in week one. You got a guy that you believe in now. And, you know, I'm glad that he's more aggressive. You just want to make sure you don't get reckless and you don't put your team in bad field position, put your defense in a bad spot. By, hey, let's,
we're like, going for it on all fourth downs.
Yeah, exactly. And Kim Vick's not that guy. Come on, no, let's be honest about that. He's not that guy.
There are guys, not at the NFL level, there's to an extent, but not the full adopter of statistically, you're more likely to make it on fourth down than not if you go for it every time. There are some people that do at the high school level, some at college.
Well, I remember when
they just won't punt.
Cody Rourke and I were talking the other night because Cody was on Robbie Owens' staff, when Robbie's the Grand Junction coach. Remember when they went for all the onside kicks?
Yeah.
Because the percentages say you've got a really good shot at recovering an onside kick at the high school level.
And then it came back to bite them when, who was it, Loveland did it?
Like, yeah.
Loveland or somebody in the playoffs did it. Maybe it was Columbine that... It was like five kicks in a row.
Yeah,
that was the short pooch kick, and because there was a hole in the return game. So if you find something that you can exploit, then absolutely do it every single time until they make you stop it. And on fourth down, you know, fourth and three or less, you might roll the dice. Sure, especially like from the fifth on their side of the field. Might as well.
When you're in that, like they're 35, and you've got a fourth down and two. Sometimes too long for a field goal. Yeah. Sometimes
because if you miss the field goal, they get the ball there anyway.
Right, and so you're at a position where you're really there's very little you're risking by not converting.
Right.
You have a shot at continuing the drive. Might be able to at least get a field goal out of it, right? Put your field goal kicker in better position. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But from like the 40, you're right. From like the 40 to the 25, might as well go for it at that point. 25 on in, take the points.
Roll the dice, because really, be honest, you're not losing a whole lot if you don't convert.
Right. But
and also that says a lot about your defense too, right? Not just your veteran quarterback, but how you feel about your defense if you don't convert.
And you probably don't do this against the Chiefs. You can do it against the Giants, the Jags, the Jets. Sure. Go ahead, because what are they going to do against your defense, in theory, with Captain Fumble and two rookie quarterbacks the first three weeks?
I mean, look at Daniel Jones. He turned it over a ton last season. What happens on Sunday?
He had 51 turnovers in 2 years. That's a lot.
I mean, Drew Lock is saying that's a lot of turnovers at that position.
Drew Lock is saying, damn, hold the football, dude. But, so might as well, yeah. Because the greater likelihood is you'll stop them or get the ball back. One or the other. You'll get it back somehow.
But it's like you said, it's field position.
Mm-hmm.
It's confidence in your quarterback to make the right decision on fourth down. It's also confidence in your defensive unit that they can get the job done. And the opponent that you face, it's not just one factor that it depends. Yeah. Depends a lot on who you're playing. Like you said, and that's a valid point.
Give yourself an identity. What was Vic Fangio's identity as the Broncos head coach? This is now his third season.
Clock mismanagement.
It wasn't good, whatever it was.
Yeah, they can't win a game in September.
Give yourself an identity. I'm a guy that's going to go for it on fourth down. All right.
Okay.
Let's do it. I'm fine with that.
It changes the narrative about him. Changes the narrative about your football team that you are a more aggressive football team. Mm-hmm. That you're more unpredictable. You need to make yourself more unpredictable. That's been part of Denver's problem, right? As an offense in particular, far, far too predictable. I mean, I saw somebody in the paper the other day, and you said it. This is before the game. If the Broncos run the ball up the middle on first down on the first play of the game, like, I'm not going to be a fan anymore or something like that. Well, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They ran the ball on first down. It's like, stop that, though.
Right.
I mean, come on. Because the first play of the game, that they don't come out slinging it, that's gonna make you go, oh, okay, well, this team's not interesting. I'm not gonna watch them. They're boring, stupid offense. Well, the offense wasn't boring. Mm-hmm. It's not like, look, Pat Shurmur's offense is not what Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy do in Kansas City.
No,
they don't have the playmaker quarterback. Well, Teddy did some. He did some nice Mahomes-ish kind of things.
He's
on
not
Sunday.
Pat Mahomes, though.
But he's not Pat Mahomes. You can't. Denver doesn't have a tight end. The plays at the level of Travis Kelce plays at. No Fant, can he get there? Shoe. Can he get there? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okwuegbunam, can he get there? Yeah. But those guys aren't Travis Kelce yet.
No.
They're not.
They're not the Kelces, the Kittles, the Gronks.
Denver doesn't have a receiver that plays at the level that Tyreek Hill does. Game in, game out, week in, week out. They don't have that guy at this point in time. They don't. So
is that maybe KJ Hamler with his speed?
Maybe, because that's kind of the idea. That's why they drafted him out of Penn State. They saw a lot of Tyreek Hill-ish abilities in him.
But if they come out and they throw the ball on the first play of the game for the next three games, and it's two incompletions and a four-yard gain, are you any happier?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Are you going to, at least it was incomplete or he got picked, but at least they threw the ball. Mm-hmm. That makes me happy.
You throw the ball first time out, then they're going to be jumping that. And then you can run the ball. You run the ball, it shows your commitment to the run. It brings your safeties up, makes your linebackers pinch in a little bit, makes your play action that much more effective.
Because that's what you're trying to set up.
That's what you're trying to set up.
This is a play-action passing team. That's
first play of the game is very rarely set up to score. It's set up more to probe and get off on a good start. Let's get positive yards. That's why your first 15 plays are scripted. It's to set up play two, play three, play four.
Exactly. And so I read that. I'm like, so that's going to be it. If they run the ball on the first down, you're not a fan anymore. That's, once again, that speaks to the knee-jerk reactions and attitudes sometimes of my fellow members of Broncos country. It's like, come on, really?
Yeah.
But I like the new aggressive Vic Fangio, because I didn't feel like...
I like it, yeah.
I didn't feel like it was stupid or reckless or desperate. Didn't come off as desperate.
Right.
Came off as confident. I believe my quarterback can make a play here. I believe in my offensive unit. I believe my line can give him protection to throw the football or run the football if we're going to try to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get it, I have the total confidence in my defense that we can keep them from hurting us because we didn't punt the football. That we're not going to, we're not putting our defense in the worst possible field position by doing this. And they're a good enough unit, they're going to give us relatively good field position when they stop them. It's a feeling of confidence that the Broncos have not had for a while. and have really not had in the Vic Fangio era.
Right. And like I said, it's an identity. It's something for Vic Fangio that is outside of the norm, that's more positive than what Vic Fangio has been known for as the Broncos coach for the first two seasons of his tenure.
And this guy's
a defensive coordinator. That's part of his identity too. Now he's got a good defense. Use it.
Believe in that unit. Believe in both sides of the football now.
Yeah.
Now he can believe. I don't think that he can believe in the offensive side. And why should he? Considering where Denver's offense is ranked during his first 2 years.
Right.
He now believes in both sides of the football. He has an offense. They can make plays, convert, score touchdowns. What did Denver do Sunday that they have not done typically in the first 2 years in the Vic Fangio era? Score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Brandon McManus field goals. Scored first. Got out of the gate. Strong first quarter. Untypical of how things have gone for the Broncos the first 2 years mm-hmm. with Vic Fangio. Got out of the gate fast. They were productive in the red zone, scoring touchdowns, not settling for Brandon McManus field goals. I like the more aggressive Vic Fangio. So if you got some thoughts on that today, text or call us 970-242-1340. Also thoughts on another great high school football matchup tonight. Palisade Montrose going at it tonight over at Stoker. We'll have it on the team with kickoff at 7 o'clock. All right, 7:16, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios coming up on Saturday. The Buffaloes take on Minnesota. We'll talk with Mark Johnson about that game in just a couple of minutes. But right now it's time to get to...
What's happening?
All right, Broncos top pick Patrick Surtain II will make his first NFL start Sunday when Denver plays at Jacksonville. A hamstring injury has put starting cornerback Ronald Darby on the injured list, giving Surtain the opportunity.
I'm approaching like a regular week, getting out here, getting prepared, taking it day by day, working hard in practice. It's a new opportunity for me to step in and fill in the role, so I'm going to be ready.
Surtain will face fellow first-round pick Trevor Lawrence, who led Clemson to a national title win over Surtain in Alabama 3 years ago. Denver took Surtain with the 9th overall pick, with Lawrence going at number 1 to the Jags. In other news, outside linebacker Bradley Chubb practiced yesterday after missing the opener. It's also looking like guard Graham Glasgow won't play Sunday after staying in New York for 2 days due to an irregular heartbeat. Coach Vic Fangio says Glasgow is iffy for Sunday, so Natain Mute might get the start. The Broncos play Jacksonville Sunday on the Team Sports Network, pregame at 9, kickoff at 11 tonight. It's Thursday Night Football. The Washington football team takes on the New York Giants. Last night, former Grand Junction Rocky Raimel Tapia drove in former fellow GJ Rocky Colton Welker in the 10th inning as the Rockies won Atlanta 3-2 last night. Antonio Cincitello was outstanding again, went 6 innings, giving up only 2 earned runs while striking out 7, did not give up a walk. It's a 7 straight quality start for Cincitello as the longest streak by a Rockies pitcher since Kyle Freeland and Airman Marquez did the same thing in 2018. Rockies go for the sweep against the Braves today. Pregame at 9:40, so our show will wrap up a little bit early today. But pregame at 9:40 right here on the Team Sports Network. The Montrose Indians football team, they bring their 3-0 record into Stoker Stadium to take on 2-1 Palisade tonight. Bulldogs are coming off a big road win over Delta, while the Indians are riding high after dominating Durango. It's primed to be another tight game between the two, or 3-3 in their last 6 meetings, with Montrose holding a 3-point advantage in that span. Indians head coach Brett Mertens knows with that history, it'll be another close one tonight.
It's always a back and forth and a pretty even matchup, and so we'll have our work cut out for us again, and it's going to be fun. And looking forward to playing on a Thursday again. It means one day closer.
So that game tonight on the Team Sports Network, countdown to kickoff at 6 with Josh Coleman. 7 o'clock kick tonight with Max Ryan and Vern McGee from Stoker as Montrose takes on Palisade. Also, the Cabrera Mesa football team, they'll head out to Las Vegas, New Mexico on Friday to take on the Highlands Cowboys Saturday. The cellar dweller, the RMAC, has shown improvement this year under new head coach Josh Kirkland. Mavs head coach Jermaine Jackson says he has gone up against Kirkland before and he knows he'll have to be ready to get after it come kickoff on Saturday.
I've known Coach Kirkland for a little bit, got a chance to coach against him at another place. He's always had his teams ready to go. He's recruited really well. We're going to have to go down there and have our shoes laced up and have our tape real tight and be ready to play a football game completely.
Mavs and Cowboys this Saturday on the Team CMU Sports Network, pregame at 11, kickoff at noon. on the team. This weekend's Desert Edge Triathlon has been canceled by the Greater Grand Junction Sports Commission. The event was set for this Saturday at Highline State Park, but was canceled due to COVID issues and technical problems with the timing company. The Daily Sun reports the Colorado Mesa Triathlon team will do the course, and others can also participate. The event starts at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. And the Grand Junction Ice Softball team lost both games of their doubleheader at Durango. Tigers lost game one 15-0 with Kaylee Kellerby and Polly Cinco getting Grand Junction's only hits in a three-inning loss in game two. Grand Junction grabbed a 7-0 lead. Went to see the Demons rally for a 22-12 win. Grand Junction drops to 2-9 overall and 0-3 in the Southwestern League. And that's
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Do you like the new aggressive Vic Fangio? Going for it on fourth down. Do you like those fourth down decisions by Ice Pick Vic? You can text or call us today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. The voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, will join us on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
And with us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Good morning, Mark.
Jim, good morning. Good to be on with you again.
Always great to talk with you. Boy, that was so tough to watch because they were so close. The Buffs are so close to coming up with their first win over a top 10 team in a very long time. Had Texas A&M on the ropes and just could not seal the deal in that 10-7 loss. If you're Carl Durrell, a lot of positives, the way the defense played. Nate Landman was all over the football field, but missed opportunities by the Buffs' offense and just maybe a lack of offensive consistency, keeping the Buffs from coming up with a major upset.
Well, I come away with a couple of different thoughts on it. Number one, certainly missed opportunity. I mean, you've got a chance with the top five team. The last top five victory, I can tell you that, was 2007 when they beat number three Oklahoma. Kevin Everhart couldn't hit the game-winning field goal, and he came from behind to beat the Sooners that day. It was at Folsom Field, so that was their last top five win, and that game was sitting there waiting for him. Now, as disappointed as you are in that, you come away from this ball game saying, you know what, Colorado went head-to-head with a top five team. Their defense is outstanding. Chris Wilson and what he is doing as a defensive coordinator has been phenomenal. Landman's ridiculous right now. He's playing at a different level, and that whole defense is flying around like crazy, and so that's good. Now, on the offensive side, they've still got all kinds of weapons, but a young quarterback's got to grow up. I mean, it's as simple as that. He's got to start finding ways to make some plays, and then hence the staff then has to find ways to put him in a very good position to make some plays and get the ball in a playmaker's hands. Because, you know, when they overturned that touchdown, when Calzada fumbled the ball going into the end zone, and how crucial was that play?
Oh, huge.
When they pulled that off the board, we hit a break, and I looked at Gary and I said, if the Buffs come out and get two first downs, they're going to win this ball.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they couldn't. They couldn't come out and get two first downs, and that really hurt them. They only had two first downs, in fact, in the entire second half. And so, you know, that's obviously an enormous part of this team, excuse me, moving forward. You know, if in a ball game like that, you had even average quarterback play, they win that game. And so that's not a criticism of what Brendan Lewis is doing. He's young and learning, but he's got to continue to learn very quickly here, because you don't want to waste this team in terms of what they can do defensively and the skill they've got around him. You want to be able to take advantage of that, because I still think this is a bowl team.
Mark Johnson voiced the Buffaloes with us, and you're right. And I think when you look at, you know, look, what Oregon did was extremely impressive going into Columbus and beating Ohio State. Sorry, Buckeye boy. Once again, he's been reminded for numerous times.
28-21 last I
he's
heard.
He's still in denial, Mark. He says it's still 28-21. Ohio State had the lead.
And by the way, Buckeye boy, your Buckeyes have been exposed. I mean, Minnesota exposed them a couple of weeks ago. Uh-huh. And Oregon took advantage of it. They've got some work to do. There's no doubt about that.
That defense is just not going to work.
Yeah.
The way it's constructed right now with who they have, it's not going to work.
But I think you look around the Pac-12 right now. I mean, we'll exclude Oregon, you know, because they look great. They played extremely well at Columbus. I think the Pac-12 is there for the taking for somebody. Because to me, there's, you know, USC now, they're certainly in turmoil after Clay Helton gets canned. And I just think, Mark, that right now this is a prime opportunity for Colorado to really seize, you know, a moment here in the Pac-12 where there's nobody, with the exception of Oregon right now, that you go, okay, that team is that much better than Colorado. I don't think there's anybody else right now. UCLA, I'll throw in that mix.
Sure.
Potentially. But right now, Colorado, I think if their offense can be, you know, if Brendan Lewis can get a little bit better, they're going to be just fine. They're going to have a chance to be a bowl team. They're going to have a chance to compete for maybe a South Division title here.
Yeah, I think you look at the league right now, and I think Oregon is hands down the favorite at this point in time. I think we can all say that safely. UCLA, we think, is really good.
Right.
You know, it's one win over LSU. We'll with a full decision on them and see how they rebound coming off a bye week. But you look around the league and you say, well, Colorado, the way it plays, the way that defense plays, can be in the conversation there. And outside of that, you know, maybe Arizona State, maybe, I don't know. USC is going to have talent, but again, because of all the turmoil, as you point out there, Stanford's going to be able to jump up and beat somebody every once in a while. Washington still got talent despite that loss to Montana.
Right.
And so there's a lot of question marks out there, and that's why the Buffaloes can be in the conversation here. And then you look at what they do defensively is so outstanding right now. I mean, they're proving to be one of the better defenses in the Pac-12 through 2 weeks, albeit. The way they run the football, they're one of the better running teams in the Pac-12. I think the offensive line has come along very well. Boy, if you can add, and again, it doesn't have to, you don't have to be Dan Marino out there, for goodness sakes, but if you can add just a solid passing attack, this becomes a very dangerous football team, and that's why I'm open to see what happens this weekend with Minnesota, which is a big matchup. But boy, it's sitting there for the taking, and you just hope they can take advantage of it.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us today on the Team Sports Network. When you look at the game that Daniel Arias had, he's a guy that he was their leading receiver, 3 catches, 37 yards. He's a guy they've been waiting for to really explode, right?
Uh-huh.
And he just, I mean, we saw some glimpses of that Saturday against A&M. Just give me some of your thoughts about him, because he's a player that intrigues me. I mean, Brendan Rice, obviously Jerry Rice's son, yep. I think has a ton of potential. This is a really good receiving crew with Dimitri Stanley as well. Arias, though, he's been a guy that we've been waiting to see do something, make some big plays. He kind of did that Saturday against A&M.
It's because he looks the part.
Right.
If you're going to draw one up, they're going to look a lot like that, right? And so he's got that enormous frame. He's an athletic kid. You know, last year the injury, we were really expecting last year to be kind of his breakout year in that shortened season, but, you know, he had some injury issues he was dealing with, and so he's a big target. You know, that's why you look at this receiver core. You got Daniel Arias out there. You've got Brendan Rice, as you mentioned. Dimitri Stanley is a playmaker. You no longer have Lavonte Chenault, rather. But
right.
Chase Penry, I think, is coming as well. I mean, the Cherry Creek kid, he's got, through camp, they kept bringing his name up. When I talked with coaches, his name would come up, and now we're seeing him kind of develop for the Colorado Buffalo. So he's another one out there. I mean, so it is a loaded core out there. So you've got enough weapons for a quarterback, but the timing, the vision downfield, all those different things that a quarterback has to have. Brendan Lewis has got to continue to develop that. And again, whatever the coaches can do in helping him develop that, put him in circumstance where he can make an easy throw, have some success, let the ball get into, you know, the playmaker's hands. Those are the kind of things, because you can go down that list of wide receivers that we're talking about, and Arias is right in the middle of all of it. And man, there are some guys out there that look real good when the ball's in their hands, and good things happen when they touch the ball. But you know, they got to get the ball, and so that's where we're at right now.
Well, and I thought Darren Chivarini did a nice job on that second drive of letting Brendan Lewis use his legs. And sure, that definitely caught A&M off guard. And I thought that was a great job of letting the young guy get some plays that made him feel comfortable. Now they got to find some pass plays like that, though, right? I mean, they got to find some pass plays where he can get into some kind of rhythm.
Yeah, without question. And you know, what's going to happen here, and what you're talking about is, you know, the screens and tunnel screens and, you know, jet sweeps and those kind of things that you can get the ball to the guys with a relatively easy, you know, pass of some sort, and then, you know, he starts feeling good about things, and he hopes he can build upon that. Well, what's going to happen, we're seeing it already. We've seen it 2 weeks into this deal. What opposing teams are saying, and I guarantee you Minnesota's going to do this weekend, okay, we know you can run the football. We're going to stop you from doing that, and force you to throw the football. We're going to walk an extra guy down in the box. We're going to play in a very tight formation there defensively and come down and really make it difficult for you to move the ball on the ground and force you and dare you to throw the football. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not a football genius, for goodness sakes. I barely know if a football's blown up or stuffed. But even I can see that. And so that's where this is all going, and there's going to have to be an answer for that.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Now it's Minnesota. Minnesota coming off the win of Miami of Ohio, but they had the really good initial effort against Ohio State and a close loss to their Big Ten rival. But Minnesota, they lost a big part of their offense with Muhammad Ibrahim gone for the season. But Treyson Potts was pretty good against Miami of Ohio. 34 carries, 178 yards, mark a couple of touchdowns. So they lose Ibrahim, who's one of the top backs in the country. But Potts has been, at least you know, after one game, a pretty good replacement.
Well, I'll tell you what you see with him when you watch him, he's a relentless kind of guy. And he doesn't go down on initial contact. And so Ibrahim is certainly, you know, was a star and a very good player. And by the way, that video of him with his Achilles snap was really quite startling. I don't know if you saw that or not. But you know, his backup is a very serviceable running back. And I'll say this, a couple of days ago I started jumping into them and sort of started looking at them, and Thursday's always a real heavy prep day for me, but they're enormous up front, and they're very old. I mean, their offensive line from left to right goes redshirt senior, redshirt senior, redshirt senior, redshirt senior, senior. And they're all like 330 and above. They're monstrous. And then the quarterback has played 5 or 6 years of college football now, including this year. I mean, there's a lot of experience on that team and enormous up front. They like to run the football. They're not a great passing team. They're better in terms of numbers than what we've seen from the Buffaloes so far. You know, the question about Minnesota, I think, is a little bit on that defensive side. And so, you know, we'll be watching that. But, yeah, that is a big physical football team, and it's going to be a big physical matchup, I think, on Saturday at Folsom Field.
Yeah, Tanner Morgan, their quarterback, 317 yards, 3 touchdowns. They typically with Minnesota, they seldom ask their quarterbacks to do a lot, but when he's been asked to throw the football, he has delivered when needed. Now, when you mentioned their defense, I mean, they gave up 26 to Miami of Ohio, obviously 45 to Ohio State, and you kind of expect that with all the weapons the Buckeyes have. But talk about the defense a little bit and some of the cracks in the armor there for the Golden Gophers defense, Mark.
Yeah, they've had some issues. They've had some alignment issues. And they've given up some big plays, and so I think there's a myriad of things. Now, some of that you write off a little bit as, okay, sometimes teams will have some issues early in the season. We've seen it 2 weeks in a row, and one of them against a lower division team. And so, you know, obviously, you know, P.J. Fleck's going to be working on that. We won't be able to tell if they made changes because they don't really say too deep depth chart, by the way. I always love that when coaches do those kind of things.
Yeah.
But it's so silly. Everybody knows who's playing. You're just being a jerk when you do those kind of things. Remember when Jim Harbaugh did that a few years ago?
It seems like, I'm sorry, Big Ten guys. Like you said, Harbaugh, it seems like that's their thing.
Yeah.
To put like Daffy Duck or, just, you know, Mighty Mouse at quarterback this week or whatever.
Just stop it. We all know. Everyone knows who. You know, it's kind of funny because I noticed on Tuesday at the weekly press conference for the Buffaloes, they hand the notes out and there's no depth chart. I'm like, come on, you're not one of those guys, are you? I mean, don't just like to talk about, you know, we want to play anybody anywhere. Okay, but we're going to not tell you who our, you know, our lineups are. Well, you know, you it takes you about 3 seconds to jump on the online and go a 2-deep depth chart for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and our lads comes up and gives you the 2-deep depth chart. It's so silly that coaches do this. There's no actual advantage they gain from it. But it's gamesmanship. It's just you kind of being a jerk. And so don't do that. I mean, just if you're going to be a leader of a program and you want to talk about the way you should conduct yourself, or the way you should handle yourself, and doing things the right way, well, then don't do things the wrong way.
Right.
You know?
Right. And look, and I love what Dave Platty did. You know, Buff's longtime sports information guy. You know, did the same thing, you know, 2016 when Harbaugh did that, when the Buffs were going to play them. Fine, you want to play that game? Buffs will have Fred Flintstone starting at center.
Well,
Rocky Balboa is going to bring back kicks. I understand why, Dave, you get frustrated.
Yeah.
Because why are they doing that? Just to send out a depth chart, okay?
It's gamesmanship. You know, Jim Moore Jr. Stupid. Used to pick kind of garbage when he was at you know who doesn't do that stuff? Nick Saban doesn't do that stuff.
Yeah, because he doesn't need to.
No, you don't need to.
He doesn't need stupid gimmicks. Yeah.
You know, and so I always, you know, Dabo Swinney doesn't do that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
So, I always just chuckle when coaches kind of pull that kind of garbage. But it is what it is. But Minnesota's had some issues, and so We'll see if the boss can take advantage of that Saturday.
All right, Mark, before we go, do you have any unique jobs from the past, unique experiences that you like to, you know, you always like to, we like to have you share those with us?
Yeah, we've had some. You know, one of the my favorite ones, there was a time when I worked at a place called the Chuck Wagon. And it was a little place in my hometown of Grand Forks, North Dakota, called the Westward Ho. Very Western-themed motel back in the day. The swimming pool was the shape of a boot, for example, and, you know, the interior of all the rooms.
That's great.
Looked like, you know, little cabins, that kind of log cabins, that kind of thing. So I worked in a chuck wagon, but I broke my arm that summer playing, you know, summer league basketball deal. And so they wouldn't let me work out amongst the customers because they had a cast in my arm. So it was my favorite summer. They moved me into what they called a cold cook that year. And I went back, and what that means is, on one side of this complex was the Chuck Wagon. It was kind of a breakfast and lunch place. The other side was the Palace Dining Room, much more highbrow, obviously. And so my job was making the shrimp cocktails all summer long. And
oh,
so,
wow.
The shrimp cocktail we're making, and because I love shrimp, by the way, the little shrimp with cocktail sauce, big, that's big for me. So it was one shrimp cocktail for the shrimp, or one shrimp for the shrimp cocktail, one for me. I think their profits probably went down about 50% of shrimp cocktails that year because I ate shrimp nonstop for about 3 months.
That sounds like a dream job. That does. And I look, they should. That was shrimp. Well, you know, well given up to you and your immense talents.
I would have never grown to 6'5" if not for that shrimp.
Exactly.
I got
see,
protein that year. But yeah, I ate more shrimp that year than I think any human being in the history of the world over a three month span. And that was one of my favorite summers working. It was nice and cool back in the kitchen. Nobody saw me. Nobody bothered me. I just ate shrimp and made shrimp cocktails half the time.
Oh, that sounds like a dream job. That does. That's a dream job. I don't think you brought. Yeah, I don't know if you can live off what they pay you and just eating the shrimp. But man, yeah, for that period of time, that'd be a dream job.
Patience for stealing all that shrimp, eating all that shrimp for those many years ago. Yeah,
so you needed the inspiration for those masterful shrimp salad creations you were coming up with. And so you had to be one with the shrimp, Mark.
Well, I was just throwing shrimp on ice and throwing a lemon on top. That's about all I was doing.
Okay, well, I was trying to make it sound more artistic than it actually was. Hey, Mark, you and Gary have a great call. Saturday, we'll have the Buffs, Minnesota, on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM kickoff at 11. Thanks, Mark.
All right, thanks, guys. See
you. Take care. Shrimp salad creator, artisan extraordinaire, yeah. Mark Johnson, with us on the program today.
Shrimp cocktail curator, maybe?
Yeah. Shrimp cocktail I like shrimp cocktail artisan. They were artisan, mm-hmm. artisanally crafted by Mark Johnson back in the day. All right. 7:40, Ben Johnson, coach of the Delta Panthers, coming up in a few minutes. Time right now for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Corey, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, this comes to us from Ireland and big cricket players over there in Ireland. And apparently not just the humans are fans of cricket.
They're going to have to look to take two. They're going to have to take a chance now. Oh, dog. Oh, the dog is the ball. Oh, here we go. Now that is...
It's brilliant.
Now there we go. Dog has
puppy,
stopped play.
They've
oh, there we go. I think we'll retrieve the ball. It may need a clean. I think this has brought COVID regulations to a whole new standard. Oh, on comes the owner.
The dog is just running.
Wait, but don't they say
all.
That a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth? So what are we worrying about it for?
I don't know.
Which I find hard to believe, considering what
I've seen dogs do with their mouths.
And what I've seen with Guinness do. Mm-hmm. By the way, Guinness slept through the night last night. Yeah, all right, yay. Hoping that becomes a trend that sticks.
It won't.
Yeah. All right. That's good, though. I like that.
Yeah.
Give the ball a clean. All right. 7:42, Delta coach Ben Johnson will join us in just a moment. The Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The biggest game this Sunday is Chiefs versus Ravens, and FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you could end the weekend right by winning $150 in a $5 bet. You've got Patrick Mahomes taking on Lamar Jackson, two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league. But you have the Chiefs also coming back from that 12-point deficit to beat the Cleveland Browns. Sorry, Buckeye, this past weekend. Baltimore, they're licking their wounds after that overtime loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. So two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league. I definitely like the Chiefs in this one, though. So make sure you make your bet on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sports book app in the country. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get fast payouts. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always looking for to hook you up with some great offers. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel's America's number one sports book. So just sign up with the promo code KTMM this Sunday before the Chiefs take on the Ravens. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. I cashed in on a couple of bets this last weekend on FanDuel as well, and the Broncos, Giants, and Iowa State. You could be a winner, too. Just sign up the promo code KTMM before this Sunday. That promo code is KTMM so they know that I sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 older, present in Colorado, new users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Time to get in the huddle with Delta coach Ben Johnson on The Team.
With us, the coach of the Delta Panthers, Ben Johnson. Ben, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me on.
You knew it was going to be a tough game with Palisade. You guys always play really close, hard-fought, good football. When you score off against Palisade, they come up with a 28-10 win of your football team. And their young quarterback, Malachi Espinoza, a really good game as far as running the football. He ended up with 3 touchdowns, 120 yards. He averaged over 7 yards a carry. One of those players, explosive players for Joe Romano, that was tough for your defense to slow down.
Yeah, you know, I thought their offense really did a great job all night. They run that triple option really good. You know, we always talk about having to win first down and keeping them to 3 yards or less, and we didn't do that. And I thought that quarterback ran that triple option great, and they had all their backs really ran well. I thought they did a very nice job against her.
Well, and their fullback, Rhett Ward, has got off to a great start. He had 110 yards and a touchdown against you. When they get that dive going on the triple option, the fullback can be really, really effective.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, they just came downhill at us and attacked us, and we knew they'd be real physical like they always are. And like we said, you just don't see a lot of teams that do that anymore. So we enjoy playing the Palisades because it really does show you things you need to work on. And we went back and looked at film, and it was eye-opening to some of our players of the things that we did in crunch time. So we got to get better ourselves. But congratulations to Palisade. I thought they played a very good football game.
Delta coach Ben Johnson with us. Panthers falling to Palisade at home last Friday, 28-10. And look for your defense. You pitched those couple of shutouts early on, Ben. Like you said, it was kind of eye-opening watching some of that film because that defense has been playing so good. And sometimes a game like this, it's a good reminder to your guys that, okay, we've got off to a good start, but we have some things to work on.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, again, they come downhill at you, and you got to handle that. If you don't handle that very well, then you're going to be in for a long night. And I thought, you know, early in the game, I thought we played pretty well. They were getting 3-4 yards, but then pretty soon those 3-4 yards turned to 5-6 yards. By the fourth quarter, they were turning into 15-25 yards. And, you know, that's what they do. They start to wear you down. They dominated the time of possession on the clock, and they really, I thought, played a classic Palisade football game, sort of wear you down and beat you up and get you in the end.
Panthers head coach Ben Johnson with us today on the Team Sports Network. And look, their defense also did a nice job on your offense. Timothy Horn is always, you know, a productive running back for you. He was held to under 100 yards, just 62 yards on 15 carries, did not find the end zone. So Palisade did a good job taking away one of your key weapons.
Yeah, you know, credit to them. They did a great job of controlling our running game. They never got our running game going. They got some big dudes. They get down there, hunker them right in the middle of their line, and they're tough to move, and we can never establish that running game during the game. And then we really don't have a lot in the passing game right now to lean on, so we're trying to improve there yet with the young quarterback. So with them controlling the line of scrimmage in the run game, it sort of hampered us. We didn't have a lot of things we could do, but we're just going to continue to improve and try and get better in that passing game as weeks go on.
Yeah, you referenced your freshman quarterback, Ty Reed, 7 of 16, 118 yards through for a touchdown and a couple of picks. What do you feel like he learned from this game against Palisade playing against that defense?
It's just a little faster game, especially against a team like Palisade. You know, I thought he did a nice job. He handled some situations really well. And it comes down to some real simple things for like a freshman, even like just getting the snap and handing the ball off and not making little mistakes. I thought he did those things really well. But now at that position, you got to be a playmaker. So we're working on things that we can do for him that makes it easy. He has a really nice arm for a young guy, and we just got to put him in a position to make some simple reads and be successful.
Delta Panthers coach Ben Johnson with us today on the Team Sports Network. Panthers 2-1 on the season. Get to take on the other Panthers. You like to think you are the Panthers, but they're the other Panthers, the Montezuma Cortez Panthers. They're off to a 1-1 start. Looking at Max Preps, they have not put any numbers up in terms of their individual performances. But what have you seen on film from the Montezuma Cortez Panthers, Ben?
You know, they got some good speed. The wide receivers are speedy, but then you're going to a completely different offense. They go like quad, split, trip, split, empty. You know, no really downhill running at all. It's more wide open type of game. So, again, we'll have to relate, and we've been having a good week of practice and doing those things. So we got to shift gears a little bit from the big monsters of Palisade coming down at us. Now we got to play with a little speed in open space.
Ben Johnson, coach of the Delta Panthers, joining us. Injury standpoint, things look okay for your team, Ben? How's your team in that regard after the Palisade game?
You know, we came out pretty clean, which against a physical team like Palisade is always good. You know, obviously the quarterback's still out, but you know, I think everybody else is pretty healthy, which is good. So Cortez is a fast team. They run a lot of good spread stuff. They blitz real crazy. We just got to keep it clean and take care of their speed, and we should be okay.
7:00 tomorrow night, Delta plays at Montezuma Cortez. Ben, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ben Johnson, coach of the Delta Panthers, still 2-1. And one of the top 10 teams in 2A football right now, even with that loss to Palisade. And look, like we talked with Ben last week, he expected it to be a tough game. And Palisade, after that loss to Central in the War Dog Trophy game, came back and responded with a big offensive night against a really good Delta Panthers football team. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy today, text or call us, 970-242-1340. We'll hear from the team that Delta faced last Friday. And Palisade coach Joe Romano. So Bulldogs get ready to take on Montrose tonight. A couple of top 10 teams in their respective classifications. Locking horns over at Stoker tonight. We'll have that game on the team with pregame at 6, kickoff at 7. High school football brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. So we'll hear from Joe Romano coming up next hour. Want your thoughts about the new aggressive ice pick Vic. Going for it on fourth down on the road in the opener against the Giants. Do you like this new aggressive approach from Vic Fangio? I don't think Vic has quite taken over the Riverboat Ron moniker yet from Ron Rivera, but certainly a more aggressive approach to the game than we've seen the first couple of years with Vic Fangio as the head coach of the Broncos. So text or call us, 970-242-1340. One text, speaking of going for it on fourth downs, onside kicks, never punting, check out the history of the head coach of the Presbyterian College football program. That's where Robbie Owens got some of his inspiration to do that. Mm-hmm. The programs that have had a tremendous amount of success going for it on fourth down or onside kicks like Robbie did quite a bit with the Tigers. That there are some numbers that back that up, mm-hmm. And appreciate the texter mentioning the Presbyterian College football program that had a history of doing that. From Jared, good morning, Jared. I love the aggressiveness from Fangio. It shows confidence in both the offense and defense. It's kind of what I referenced earlier. It shows that Vic now is a quarterback he can believe in. He has a secondary and a defense he can believe in. And that allows you to be more aggressive. And if you don't convert, that you know that it's not going to be catastrophic for your football team, if you can believe in that defense. All right, so text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Coming up next hour, some sound from the Broncos yesterday, their Wednesday presser, as they get ready to head to Jacksonville and take on the Jaguars Sunday on the Team Sports Network. We'll take a break and come back with Hour 2.